Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from Luke chapter 15, those two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coins. But very important to this text are those very first two verses. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, did you know that sheep are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible, making them the most mentioned animal in the whole entire Bible? And did you know shepherds are mentioned 111 times in the Bible, making them the second most mentioned occupation in the Bible, second only to prophets? The reason for this is that for a long, long time in Israel's history, they were a nomadic people who wandered the wilderness. And so they didn't settle down and stay in any place long enough to plant crops or develop mines or build up their industry. And so while they were wandering, they depended on their flocks. From Abraham all the way through Moses, the people of Israel were shepherds. And so it only makes sense that when Jesus is trying to make a point, he would use sheep and shepherd language to get that point across. As I said, those very first two verses of our text are really, really important for understanding what Jesus is trying to get across in our lesson for today. What we see in those two verses is really a lot of tension. It's not a good situation. Verse 1 gives us some amazing and positive stuff. When the text opens up, Luke writes, "And now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus." Whenever anybody comes by to hear Jesus, that's a good thing. The crowds listening to Jesus would have understood from Luke's gospel that these people coming to Jesus were the poor, the disabled, the lame, and the blind, as well as the tax collectors and known sinners. But they are following Jesus' final caution at the end of the last chapter when he had said, "The one having ears to hear, let him hear." And so they want to hear Jesus. But it's not just that they love hearing his voice or that he is a marvelous speaker, because the word for hear in our lesson, the word for hear, indicates that they wanted to be in Jesus' catechism class, that they really wanted to learn from him, that they wanted to build up a relationship with him. They basically wanted to be his disciples. And that's a good thing. That's Jesus' mission. So they came to hear him. They came to hear his word. But then comes verse 2. And that's the disappointing part. That the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So you see the contrast between the two. The tax collectors and sinners are doing what they should. They are coming to Jesus to hear him, to hang on his every word. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they're grumbling at those tax collectors and sinners for Jesus hanging out with them. The scribes and the Pharisees should have wanted to hear Jesus as well. I mean, they're the religious professionals. You would think that they would want to listen to the Savior of the whole wide world. that they would think that they would sign up for Jesus' catechism class too. But no, they criticize Jesus for doing his job. They literally criticize Jesus' mission. Not to mention that as religious leaders, you would think that those scribes and Pharisees would want the tax collectors and sinners to turn their lives around. You would think that the scribes and Pharisees would have been happy to see the tax collectors and sinners repenting and changing their ways. But that's not the way Luke reports it. All they do is complain about Jesus eating with them and teaching them. And so as a result of the situation, Jesus tells three parables, and all three of these parables talk about relationships. You know, Christianity is all about relationships. It's first and foremost about our relationship with God, but then it's about our relationship with one another. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus responded in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depend all the law and the prophets." But Jesus, rather than giving them a lecture on how to get along, Jesus tells these three most important parables: the parable of lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. And as you read them, you realize that all three deal with relationship. And they show all the joy that will be in heaven when one sinner repents. And so Jesus asks, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" You know, what Jesus knows is that a shepherd would never be out in the field alone. He knows that there will at least be two or three shepherds just because of this situation, because sheep are known for wandering off. That's what they do. And so one shepherd would go in search of the sheep that has wandered off, and the other would be left watching over the other 99. But when that shepherd finds that sheep, he will put that sheep on his shoulder, and he will bring it back rejoicing. And then he calls all of his neighbors, the entire neighborhood, and they have a fellowship meal to celebrate the return of that sheep. I mean, the reality is that he spends more money celebrating, rejoicing the return of the sheep than that sheep was worth. But the sheep and the shepherd do develop a relationship with each other. And so there would be more than monetary considerations at play here. And while the party and the excitement of sharing that joy the sheep is back is crucial to our text, what is even more important is Jesus' statement that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. Can you imagine the rejoicing that took place in heaven a few moments ago when we confessed our sins and repented of them? I guarantee you there was a lot of rejoicing. And it's so comforting to know that we have a God who really values his people, his creation. I mean, even when we go astray, and we go astray often, God cares about us. And he sends his shepherd to find us. And then he throws a huge party in heaven where there will be so much joy and so much rejoicing because we have been found. And the same thing happens in the parable of the lost coin. In both the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the prodigal son, there is that sin of straying away from the shepherd or the father. But with the parable of the lost coin, we notice that the coin, unlike the other two parables, the coin is just an object. On its own, that coin could do nothing to get lost. And on its own, that coin could do nothing to be found. It is the woman who lost the coin, and it's the woman who found the coin, and yet she still gathers her neighbors and throws a big party that, again, is probably more expensive than the actual coin itself. But you see, the coin is not the point here. The point here is her joy and her rejoicing together with her neighbors. And again, we have Jesus repeating that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the parables are not really about straying sheep or joy being found. They are really more about relationships with one another and with God. The Pharisees and those scribes, they should have rejoiced that the tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus to hear him and repent and join his confirmation class. They shouldn't have been grumbling about him eating with him. They should have rejoiced. And you know, we are very blessed here at Trinity. You know, I hear over and over again from people who have joined our church that we are a friendly and welcoming community. Lord knows we miss Fuzzy. He was one of the greatest ushers we ever had. He was one of the most welcoming ushers that we ever had. I mean, ushering for 40 years at every service, he knew a new face when it came in. And so he made sure to welcome that new face. And if they happened to have a couple children, he would take them over to the school after service and give them a tour of the school. Because that's the way he was. And that's the way the scribes and the Pharisees should have welcomed those tax collectors and sinners. You know, last year, because of our school, we had the wonderful opportunity to baptize many of our students. And so this year, we're making our focus intentional. We are developing a specific plan for how we go about working with our school families to get their children baptized so that they are eligible for confirmation and receiving the Lord's Supper, and more importantly, engaging in a lifelong relationship with their Lord. And if that is not the goal of a Christian school, I don't know what is. And so each and every one of our teachers is engaged in encouraging our students towards baptism, maybe not at Trinity, if maybe at their home congregation. And we celebrate baptism birthdays once a month, where the students who are baptized in September are called up to the front of the altar. They're given a little token of with a prayer on it. And then whichever pastor is presiding over chapel that day prays over those students, thanking God that God has adopted those kids as his children. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see 20 or 30 kids up here who have been baptized. So I guess my point for the day, don't be a scribe or a Pharisee. It may sound surprising, but be a tax collector or a sinner who longs to hear Jesus, who wants to change their life and wants to repent and sign up for Jesus' confirmation class. You know, as lifelong Christians, it's easy to look down on new Christians or those who are not living the most elegant of life. But rather than looking down on them, we need to rejoice with all of heaven that they have repented and that they are developing a relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the reality is, we are all in the same boat. We are all sinners, every single one of us. No one is better than the next. That's why we come to church, and the very first thing we do is confess our sins and receive absolution from our Lord, because we need it. And so we come to church and we receive our Lord's gifts of eternal life, forgiveness, and salvation every single week. And if someone new comes and starts doing the same, no matter what their walk in life is, we should be rejoicing with all those angels in heaven, remembering that we're in the same boat. And that when we repent, those same angels are rejoicing for us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.